From the earliest days of European settlement, the Wilmington area and the Cape Fear region have been places of active military involvement. From the American Revolution through the Civil War, from Liberty ships in World War II to the relocation of the battleship North Carolina, this area has seen its share and more of events that have shaped the military history of our country. In fact, there is right now a movement in progress to have Wilmington declared America's first World War II city. Our guest on today's Coastline is a man who knows a great deal about all these topics and more, Wilbur Jones. Wilbur is a military historian. Also, he is a captain in the U.S. Navy Reserve, retired. He's the immediate past chairman of the USS North Carolina Battleship Commission and chairman of the World War II Wilmington Homefront Heritage Commission. He's a retired civilian employee of the Defense Department and a former aide to Presidents Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. He has led battlefield tours in Europe, in the Asian Pacific area, and here in southeastern North Carolina. And he is one of the people spearheading, perhaps the person spearheading, the effort to have Wilmington declared America's first World War II city. Wilbur Jones, welcome to Coastline.
Thanks very much, Cleve. Glad to be here.
And we have a lot of things we can talk about today, and we'll let our listeners steer part of the conversation through their calls and emails. If you'd like to send us a question or comment, you can get in touch with us at coastline@whqr.org. That's our email address, or you can call us at 910-343-1138. And I guess some questions might be, are you a veteran? Did you live in Wilmington during World War II or grow up here? Did you work on one of the Liberty ships that were made here? Do you have any stories or questions about any aspect of the military history of this region or others? This is your chance to talk with an expert, Wilbur Jones, our guest on today's Coastline. So, Wilbur, let's start out with what I was just mentioning about the World War II city aspect of this. You've been involved, I think, with that, and I know this has been a years-long project in the making. What is the status of that now, and what's the genesis behind that?
For 8 years, I have been very heavily involved in an effort to seek national recognition for Wilmington as America's World War II city based on what we did to contribute to the war effort during World War II and subsequently what we have done since then to preserve that legacy. We have, in the last several years, gotten cooperation from our congressmen and our senators in introducing bills in the House of Representatives and the Senate that would call for that designation as the first American World War II city. Congressman McIntyre, who is now retired, and I explored all opportunities we could think of to have an organization designate us without a lot of unnecessary fanfare. And all of these years after World War II had been ended, no city had stepped forward to claim that title or even to seek it. But we found that even though organizations such as the Smithsonian and the National Trust for Historic Preservation felt that, gee whiz, Wilmington probably deserved it, but they didn't have the authority or responsibility to make that designation. So Congressman McIntyre said, let's go to the Congress. Let's introduce a bill, get it passed, have the president sign it. And that's a pretty good authority, responsible one. And so the evolution has come through three sessions of Congress now. Congressman Rouser, his bill was introduced last year. It's passed the House of Representatives as part of an omnibus or larger bill, Veterans Affairs. It is now over in the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee waiting for action. Senator Tillis last year introduced a companion bill in the Senate. It had been assigned to the Armed Services Committee and is still awaiting action there. So I'm in touch with the Senate offices of Senator Burr and Senator Tillis, who have been very cooperative in helping us And we're just trying to get it through the process over in the Senate. It's much different from the House, as you recognize. Mm-hmm. And their procedure.
You're talking about the bill as a whole. It's much different, not this particular little clause in it.
No, the bills are identical.
Oh, okay.
And we're not asking for money, and it's nonpartisan. And it's just a matter of them fitting it. It's just a one-page bill. And the question is, how is it fit into the process, the legislative process in the Senate? And I'm pulling my hair out right now. As I said, 8 years to going on nine. We're not giving up because Wilmington deserves this for what we did during the war and our efforts to preserve that history.
Well, let's talk about some of those efforts. A lot of people probably have seen, it's kind of a famous iconic portrait, I guess, a picture of Wilmington, an aerial portrait of Wilmington with a whole bunch of Liberty ships lined up along the river. And this was something that I didn't know about until I moved to Wilmington 6 years ago. But all the Liberty ships that were made here, over 240, I think, something like that, that were constructed here?
You're close, and I think what you're talking about is the reserve fleet after World War II.
Okay.
The mothball fleet was put up in the Brunswick River over in Brunswick County, and there were several hundred ships. Not all of them were made in Wilmington. During World War II, our shipyard produced 243 ships.
Okay.
About half of those were Liberty ships.
Uh-huh. Why was Wilmington selected for that? What made that? What was special about this? Did we already have that manufacturing and port capacity? I think, the shipbuilding yards all over the country. Why was Wilmington such an important
one? I'm sure it was political influence.
Really?
Probably. And we had the space.
Uh-huh.
Why not? They stayed there on the Brunswick River until well into the Vietnam War, when they were either activated for Vietnam service or scrapped or sold to other nations.
You mentioned that was one aspect of it, was the Liberty ships. What were some of the other aspects that would make Wilmington America's first World War II city?
Oh, gosh, how much time do we have? Just an hour?
Well,
a number of things. We were the headquarters for the Atlantic Coastline Railroad, which is one of the largest in the South. We had two Medal of Honor recipients from New Hanover High School, and Billy Halliburton and Charles Murray. To our knowledge, it's the only high school in the country with multiple Medal of Honor recipients from World War II.
Mm.
And we had a number of manufacturing plants here, like the Block Shirt Factory that made over a million shirts for the military. We had all five of the armed forces were stationed here. The Marines, of course, at Camp Lejeune, and boy, did they take over the town on Saturday night. And the Army was stationed here at Fort Fisher with an advanced training base, with their main base up at Camp Davis on Highway 17. The Navy was here with patrol boats hunting German submarines on the Cape Fear River and down in the Southport area. And the Army Air Forces was here. They took over what is now Wilmington International Airport, turned it into a submarine hunting base and a P-47 fighter base. And we had three German prisoner of war camps here.
You're listening to Coastline. Wilbur Jones is talking about the effort to declare Wilmington America's first World War II city. And I wanted to ask you specifically about that. You mentioned submarines, Wilbur. The rumor I've heard is that were there submarines definitely off the coast of North Carolina?
Oh, yes.
How close did they get?
Real close. They were sinking ships off of North Carolina, as you know. Wilmington was the southern end of what was called Torpedo Junction.
Uh-huh.
And several sinkings occurred off of the Southport, Wrightsville Beach area. And I can remember as a young boy walking on Wrightsville Beach and seeing the debris that would float up in the oil from the sunken ships that would reach the beach. And the submarine activity continued until about the middle of 1943, when the Battle of the Atlantic turned against the Germans.
And I I believe I heard you say, I was listening to some information that you gave to our producer, Isabel Shepherd, beforehand, that it's possible that that the only attack from a submarine on U.S. soil took place in this area.
Yes.
During World War II.
Yes, I believe that. My research indicates that it likely happened on the night of July 24th, 1943. A German submarine surfaced off of Curie Beach and fired three shots at the Ethel Dow chemical plant, which was on the Cape Fear River side of Federal Point. And they landed in the water and didn't fortunately hit the plant. If that happened, and I believe it did, I have interviewed witnesses, and there is a family at Curie Beach that claims that they have seen that the German submarine surface. It would be the only time that Germany actually attacked the east coast of the United States.
And I suppose we don't know which German submarine it was or what happened to the crew of that. We believe
we know because indications post-war records indicated that we believe that submarine was sunk a couple of days later by aircraft from this area.
All right. Talking with Wilbur Jones here on today's Coastline. If you'd like to join our conversation, if you have a question for Wilbur, we have a lot of things to talk about today, not just World War II, but other kinds of things as well. If you have a question for Wilbur, please give us a call. Our phone number is 910-343-1138, and our email address is coastline@whqr.org. We'd love to have you as part of our conversation on this particular show. And we're going to come back. When you come back, there's another submarine question I want to ask you about that I've heard, and it's a rumor. Maybe you can tell us whether this rumor is true or if it has any credibility or if it's just a fanciful story that people like to tell around here. We'll find out about that. Our guest is Wilbur Jones. If you have a question about the Civil War, if you have a question about World War II, if you have a question about the history of this area or other areas, Wilbur has led tours of battlefields in Europe and in the Far East, and we'll find out about that also. You're listening to Coastline on WHQR. 910-343-1138 is the number, and our email address, coastline@whqr.org. We'll be back after a short break.